And Lynn, he is all you need to cook for the men's retreat while doing weddings. He's all I need. That is, Brother Lynn, one of his favorite songs is why I said that. But it's one of mine as well. And no matter what we may be facing, and sometimes we all have times that we feel like we can't face it, we can't get through it, but he is all we need, and I'm thankful for that. He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he supplies, my thirsty soul he satisfies. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He eases every pain, fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He eases, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He is all that I need. Oh yes, he's all I need. He's my everything, and he's all I need.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to look at the first five, at least the first part of verse 5, for just a minute, and I trust you have your Bibles, and you look on with me as I point out some things I see here in these verses. If you found your place, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Just a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would speak in the stillness while we wait on you. May we hear your voice with clarity. And I pray, Lord, that you would so touch us that we may be able to speak clearly and powerfully your word in such a way that you would get glory, as we ought to do. Feed your children, honor and glorify yourself, save the unsaved, and we'll give the glory to you because you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk just a little bit from these verses on the thought of the life of the Christian. What we're going to be doing is looking at your life as a child of God. Notice, if you will, in these verses, you're looking at verse number one. You'll notice that Paul has given us three tenths of our union with Christ. In verse number one, you'll notice, if ye then be dead with Christ, that is, you were raised with Christ. You see, since you are saved, there's been a past tense work in your life. You have been raised. Look again and notice in verse number three, present tense. He said your life is hid with Christ in God. The word is present tense. Right now, at this very moment, your life is hid with Christ in God. Look again at the future tense in verse 4. He said, ye shall appear with him in glory. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. It's future tense. So the Apostle Paul opens up here by giving us the past, present, and future tense of our life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that in each case, it's with Christ. You see, everything comes through union with him. You don't have anything outside of him. You're a child of God now. Look and notice with me, if you will, that there's three components that's mentioned here with this with. He begins by saying you're raised with Christ. Then he says in verse 1 again, you're hid with Christ. And verse 3, you're going to appear with Christ. What awesome words. Look at this with me and notice that it's a heart-moving to see the threefold Christian life. It starts, verse 1, raised with Christ. When you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sin, but God raised you to life in his Son. We're raised with Christ. It all started there. Look again, and you'll notice in verse number 3 that its source is in God. Everything that we have in Christ come from God. Look in verse number 4 now, and notice its summit, glory. You see, you can't get no higher than that. Let me give you a little personal thing here. When I was working at the post office, I had just got saved, and I went to work, and I was telling them that I had been saved. And this, I'm not criticizing no denomination, I'm just making this statement, okay? This Pentecostal preacher jumped on me with both feet. And I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. I would try to answer him with what I had heard in church. But that's not good enough, you know. Anyway, he would tie me up in knots and chew me up and spit me out. Every time he would wipe the floor up with me, I would argue with him, and it didn't do no good. I would end up the loser every time. So I decided I ain't saying nothing to him till I know what I'm saying about this subject. So I would get off on Friday evening, and I'd say to my wife, go shopping with your mama. Go do something. Give me the Saturday. And I spent all day Saturday reading and studying. For 3 months, I studied and I read that subject. I reread it. I ate it. I chewed it up till I knew what I was saying, scripturally. Many times he had started the conversation, but I wouldn't answer him, so he'd just have to leave it alone. But on this particular morning, we're going upstairs to carry some mail. And he set in on me. He said, Petty, he said, if you'd get baptized in the Holy Ghost and get full of it to where you spoke in tongues, he ought not to have said nothing. I said, sir, could I say to you? And I said some things. In a few minutes, I said, he's trying to argue with me. I said, I want to ask you a question. Do you think I'm saved? He said, oh, Petty, I know you're saved. Your life changed. I said, do you think I'm saved? He said, yeah. I said, will that get me to heaven? He said, yeah. I said, I'm getting off there. I ain't going no further. As far as I'm going. He never tried to get me baptized again. What I'm trying to say is, that's as far as we're going. That's the summit. That is the height. We're not going any further. Let me bring you back here again. Notice in present tense in the first verse, he said, you were raised with Christ. I know I changed it. The word if here is since. He said, since then you've been raised with Christ. You see, he's talking about something that's already happened. It's a spiritual resurrection. Hold on now. It's a fact. I tell you, it's the experience of every child of God. You can't change the fact. Every genuine conversion to Christ is a spiritual resurrection. You've been raised with Christ. It's a fact. Oh my God. It's the first fact. That's where it all started. You were raised with Christ to a new life. You see, there's no living until there's a rising. He's got to raise you from the dead. You are dead in trespasses and sin, and he raises us to the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can't educate the dead to life. They have to be raised to it. Come back here and look again. I want you to notice that this spiritual resurrection is not only a first fact, it's a fixed fact. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He said, Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Neither can you. Oh, absolutely not. Even though natural life recedes, natural life declines, our spiritual life is never aborted. Our spiritual life continues in heaven. Resurrection life in Christ is indissolvable. There's no way you can dissolve it. You can't wish it away. You're in Christ. You're in Christ to stay. You may not live like it, but honey, you're going to heaven whether you like it or not. Amen. Now you'll lose your reward. You'll stand before Him bankrupt. But when Christ raises you from the dead, it's not only a first fact, it's a fixed fact. You're sealed for all of eternity. Now looky here with me. You see, a fact calls for the exercise of a function. Yeah, watch it with me in your word. And this function will always be in relation to the fact. Notice how our text reveals this truth. You're looking with me again, and it said, if you then be risen, he said, ye are risen with Christ. The word is since. Since, he's talking about something that has already happened. Since you have been risen with Christ, that's a fact. What's next? Something done. Look again and notice, if you will. He said, seek those things which are above. That's a function. That's something to do. Look again in verse number 3. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's a fact. Something done. Look again and notice he said, set your affection, verse 2, set your affections on things above. That's a function. That's something to do. Look again, if you will, in verse number 3. He said, for you are dead. That is a fact. Something done. Verse 5. Mortify your members. That's a function. Something to do. Now we're talking about the Christian life. I'm talking about you. If you've been saved by the grace of God, this is Paul that's writing to you under inspiration. You see, what he is telling you is that in each case, the function is demanded by the fact that is declared. If it is a fact, there will be a function. The fact has been declared clearly, something done. He said the function is something for you to do. In every spiritual fact, there's an acceptance of faith. The only way you got the fact is if you believed. How did you get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, these facts come because there was an acceptance of faith. But notice, if you will, with me, that every spiritual function is for the activity of faith. You see, there was an acceptance. You accepted Him. And it is by that same faith. You see, we walk by how we got in. We got in by faith. We walk by faith. Now that acceptance turns into an activity. You begin to act like a child of God. Now, I want to call your attention to a couple of things here in these verses. And we'll go downstairs and eat. Amen. I didn't have supper and I'm getting ready. Look at verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read them again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Would you notice that He's telling you and me that we got a new position? The Christian position is in Christ. It's with Christ. I look here and I notice here is a heavenly, here is a holy, here is a high position. And it's all provided by God. I didn't do nothing except trust Him as Savior. He had already provided it for me in His Son, Christ Jesus. You see, I got the position the moment that I was regenerated. And the amazing thing is, I got born into the kingdom of God. I knew a change had taken place in my life. But I had no idea all this had happened. If I'd have known that night all of this had happened to me when I got saved, I'd have been a Comanche Indian running on the warpath. Yeah, doing the, you know, that silent yell. I'm saying to you, listen, I couldn't have handled it. That night, I don't know how many of you knew what Stone Mountain is. It's the largest granite in the United States. It's a whole mountain of just rock. The night I got saved, Stone Mountain rolled off my shoulder. The weight and guilt of sin was gone. I wanted to tell it, but I didn't know exactly how except to say, I've been saved. I don't know if you can say it any better. And you're saved by the grace of God. My position has changed. Notice some facts about this position. The truth of our union is with Christ. But that with Christ is followed by the truth that we are in Christ. When you go back to chapter 1 where the book opens up, we are saints in Christ. Verse 2. Then verse 4, we are have faith in Christ. Verse 14, in Christ we have redemption. Chapter 2 and verse number 10, we're complete in Christ. You see, our position in Christ is focused upon our identification with Christ. Because now when we come, well, a couple in chapter number 2, we're dead with Christ. We are buried with Christ. Verse 13, we're quickened with Christ. Now we come to our text. We're raised with Christ. We're hid with Christ. Verse 3, we appear with Christ. In verse 4, in glory. You will notice that Paul begins in this epistle with our position. Dear friend, you must have the right position. I could go to London, walk out on one of the palaces and take over, but it wouldn't be long till they took me over. I don't have the right position. But you see, when you're in Christ, you have the right position. You're positioned in Him. So what is the confines of our position? You'll notice, I just said in chapter 1, verse 2, we're saints in Christ. End of notes position. But you see, in Christ denotes we are in the center. The limit of our position is in Christ. You see, we don't have anything outside of Christ. The limit of our life is in Christ. Now that we're saved, we live in Christ. We don't live in the things of this world and this natural that we have in Adam. We live in Christ. Our life is in Him. We're kept in Christ. In Christ is the sphere of our spiritual life. We don't get outside of the sphere. We live in Him and walk in Him and breathe in Him. The most wonderful privilege that anybody could have is to be in Christ. Isn't that awesome? I tell you, it'd be wonderful if you could get the church to believe it, much less the world. Isn't that true? We act like our salvation is just, well, it's just a coat we put on. It's our life. We live in Christ. You see, without Christ, you're a sinner. Dead. in Christ, you're a saint alive. Man, what a privilege to be in Christ, because we are in Christ. Look at it again now. He said, I want you to seek those things which are above. That's verse 1. Seek, that is, make a search. Watch what he's saying. He said, now that you're in Christ, I want you to make a search. I want you to aspire for the realms above. He tells us here that this seek is a strong desire. I don't know about you, but the wife and I have been married 57 years. She's old, but I'm not. Could I tell you, when I went in that church on that Sunday morning where she was a member, she sang in a quartet. I sat down on the back pew. Dad and Mom had left the church where we were at, and they had come to this church. The next service that we came, I sat on the third pew. And when they put up the Cherokee Acts, that was the name of their quartet, it was Cherokee Avenue Baptist Church. And like she does now, like singers do, you know, they pantomime the congregation while they're singing. Looking at everybody while they're singing. Something you're supposed to do. So when she come across that young fella sitting on the third row, I winked at her. Yeah. Oh, it was a spiritual wink, so it was okay. You say, what in the world were you doing? I was initiating something. Yeah, I was initiating something. You see, I had a strong desire. I didn't give up till I got her. Now I can't turn her loose. I got a tiger by the tail. He said, seek me. You'll never be disappointed. Never has there been a believer in Christ walking with the Lord that was disappointed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. He said, seek things above, spiritual, heavenly, God-like, holy, pure things. But wait a minute. He says, seek in verse 1. Move down to verse 2. He said, set your affections on things above. You see, if seeking is making a search, set is making a stand. He said, I want you to set your affections on things above. He said, I want you to take a fixed position about your affections. Now, if you study this passage, your affections is your mind. That's the word that is used here. And he's saying to you and me, I want you to set your attitude. I want you to set your demeanor. I want you to seek after life and set your affections on it. He said, I want you to arm yourself with the same mind as Christ. He said, Paul's writing the church at Philippian church. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, it's quite clear from the scriptures here that your experience and my experience is to be holy because of your mind. You see, you'll never live for God until you think, until you set your mind, I'm going to be the best Christian God's got. I read somewhere where Dwight L. Moody made this statement. He said, I'm going to be the best Christian that ever lived. What if we all set our goal like that? And our demeanor, our attitude, was to be the best that God had. He said in Romans, you remember, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, nothing's going to change in your life until your mindset is changed. You see, you got to think right. And he said, you set your affections on things above. Would you notice that Paul here changes from your mind to your members? Yeah, watch this if you will in verse 5. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. He said, I want you to seek, I want you to set, then I want you to slay. Mortify your members. What that word mortify means is starve to death, suffocate. He is telling us to strangle the life of this world in our life. Don't let it breathe. Don't give it any life whatsoever. He said, seek, set, now I want you to slay. I want you to put to death every part of you that's of this earth, of this world. I'm asking you a question. Are you in the grips of the passion of this world? Is there something that's got its hold on you? Some evil desire that is in your heart? And he said, you're going to have to slay it. You're going to have to do away with it. You've got to get it out of your life where that you can be an honor and a glory to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When you say, reason I'm smiling, my wife just got on to me for doing that. She said, quit doing that. I said, they can't see your face. But we got our peculiar habits, I guess. What I want you to see here is, how in the world can we speak of love in our faith that is resting in the fact, and your faith that is in the fact is not enabling you to function the right way for the glory of God? He said, mortify. That's a positive act. It's not only a positive act, it is a perpetual attitude. You see, I not only slay it, but I live day by day with a perpetual attitude of putting to death the members of my body, where that everything about me in those members are used for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the confines of our position. I got to hurry ahead, and I got 5 minutes. Second of all, the certainty of our position in verse number 3. He said, your life, the next word is, present tense, remember? Where is it? It is hid with Christ in God. It is permanently hidden. Oh, yes, my friend. We're in him. He's in us. He puts it this way. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the reason why we are secure and safe. Our life is in. Our life is in him. And of course, he's keeping us just like he would keep himself. I know God don't have to keep himself, but I ain't got no other way of saying it. You see, if I'm in Christ, the only way that I can be saved, if Christ keeps himself, because I'm in him. I'm hid with God in Christ. I'm moving on. Third thing, the consummation of our position. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. Here is the destiny of every child of God. I'm as sure as heaven if I was already there. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he tells us that we're in heavenly places in Christ. As good as if I was already there. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Let me say it a little bit different. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You see, I don't have to seek. He's already blessed me with it. I just got to receive it. It's already present, paid for, presented. He said, every blessing that you can get from the Holy Spirit is already yours. I'm telling you, if you're bankrupt, it ain't God's fault. Check your bank account. There may be a lot more in there than you think. You see, it wouldn't do me no good. I do have a checking account at home. Wouldn't do me no good to have $1 million if I didn't know it was in there. You see, your problem in living for Christ is we don't know all that we got in Him. He's an awesome God, and boy, we got a bank account. My soul. The center of our positions in Christ, I'll say this and I'll be through. You see in verse 1, I want you to look at this with me in your Bible if you still have it open. Look at verse number 1 and notice with Christ. Look again in verse 1, where Christ. Verse 3, with Christ. Verse 4, when Christ. It's pretty evident, isn't it, where the center of the resurrection life is at? You like all them W's? With, when, where? It's all in Christ. Our resurrected life in Christ. The center. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Verse 3. He said, your life is hid with Christ. Where? In God. Verse 4. Christ, who is our life. Christ is the living center of the resurrection life. Everything about the child of God's life centers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what I've been saying to you is what I said when I started the life of the Christian. You see, what are you saying? I'm saying all I said was the life of the Christian. You and I that are saved by the grace of God. If we could get a hold of what has got a hold of us, if we could apprehend, as Paul puts it, if we could understand, if we could grasp all that we have in Christ, the only way you'll ever know is to get in there and stay in there. Now, I'm aware. I didn't just fall off the pumpkin wagon. I'm fully aware. You have to work for a living. You can't spend hours upon top of hours in the Word of God. But I can. God put me in the full-time ministry 50 years ago. I know you're probably saying you don't talk like it, but I've spent hours in the study with God so I could know what He was saying in His book. I was trying to find out what He was saying, and what I found out was what He had done for me. I'm finding out what He's saying, but it's what He's telling me He gave me. He's done for me. I'm secure in Christ Jesus. And the blessed fact is, I can tell you it's all true for you. Amen. Amen. What a God we serve. Isn't He awesome? What a story He's given you and me to tell. Thank you for letting me share today with you. I love coming here. I guess y'all can tell that. I hang around when I get here. But I love you, and I thank you for your love for the wife and myself. I'm blessed to know you. And I hope God's let me just drop a few of His jewels in your heart from His precious word. But I say this to you as seriously as I can. If you're here without Christ, I'd rather see you get saved than anything. My heart goes out to you. You see, I know what you're missing. And you can't make heaven without Christ. Every head bowed. Father, burn your truth into our heart. Seal it that we'll never forget it. Thank you for this congregation waiting so patiently and listening so intently to your precious word. Oh, precious God, smile upon your dear children. There's some that's sitting here, no doubt, whose heart is aching. Lord, I pray that you would be especially near and dear to them. And to that one in darkness, turn the light on. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.